All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat tonight on Rumble. Dead Plan is on. Nitsua 99 is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Just Fact is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Why Not Me is on. And Bully is on. Kep Guy 1 is on. D9597 is on. Wisconsin 90 Badger is on. Mike Griffith's on. Hot Shot Sights is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Neon the Thrill Soup is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Perry Heather 120 is on. Luigi Valentino is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Sheila K is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sheila K is on. Gritterdom is on. Dave Souders is on. A. Wethy is on. Lizzie 859 is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. R. Major 79 is on. Let me scroll down here. SCWA Ratcliffe is on. Hot Shots Insights. Saw you already. Insights is on. Mobetta 01 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Mojave Jeep JT is on. Let me see if I missed anybody. Milwaukee James is on. Alpha Acres is on. Deb New 2011 is on. Snag Dog is on. Jonna Jones already in the Rumble rant. $10. Thank you so much. Is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Oh, Braden McGroin, see on the McGroin Nation is represented and on. General Lee 78 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right, let's hop to the short show tonight. Hour and 5 minutes from now, we'll be done. There you go. 10:15. Put it down. 10:15. Mark it down. There. I'm already 1 minute into it. There we go. All right, we're going to get right to the drone. So this is one of my favorite cuck boys. We'll hop right to that tonight. We'll go ahead and drop cuck boy right here in the first minute. Still roaming video. This is John Kirby, Admiral John Kirby. Why are the DOD and the U.S. State Department not working in tandem with our military? Talking about the drones off the coast of New Jersey. Also the drones that are circling over military bases in England also, and also joint military bases in England. And instead using local law enforcement. So the DOD is not involved with actually researching and finding out where these drones are coming from, which leads me to believe the DOD is involved in the flight of these unidentified flying objects, or drones. Really, we know they're drones, but other than that, they're unidentified. To this day, now, how many days has it been? Can we all look at the simple logic of this? This is why none of these, why I only get to 8 slides tonight. Anybody ever look at the simple logic of this? What does it take to scramble a couple military helicopters and fly around and follow those drones? Why has that not been done? I mean, it's really easy. I mean, listen, local law enforcement really doesn't have that asset. Local law enforcement normally has, depending on the size of the department, but even really large departments have at most 2 helicopters, and most departments, even large metro departments, have 1 helicopter. They don't have the assets to do this. Now, you have AWACS planes that can do this. You have, in the military, you have helicopters that can do this. You have military drones that can do this. They can stay up in the air for 24 hours. Why isn't the DOD, why isn't the Navy, Army, Air Force, Marines, why hasn't anybody actually flown a drone up there, flown a helicopter up there, flown an AWACS reconnaissance aircraft up there and just track where these drones are at? Does it make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Why has that not been done? It's been, today is now Friday. We've been covering this story since at least Tuesday, at least. Aaron sent this to me. Dozens of drone sightings have been reported over New Jersey since November 18th. I stand freaking corrected.
Like almost a month.
Almost a month. And the military can't find out where these come. I mean, can you imagine the ineptitude of this? This is simple logic. Again, you might think that I think Aaron walks on water. Well, he is one of my best friends, and I do think he's great. I don't think he walks on water yet. Well, he could if he prayed to do it. But I'm just saying, if he shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Greater works than these, you will do. But anyway, I could task Aaron right now. Driving distance to New Jersey is probably, I don't know, let's just say 15 to 25 hours, somewhere in there. So within a 24-hour period, I could give Aaron a budget. We don't even have to drive it. So he'll fly up there. He'll fly into like LaGuardia or Scranton or whatever. He flies up in there and give him a budget of, I don't know, $5,000. $5,000. That's flights included. Aaron could find out what those drones look like and take multiple pictures of them and find out what their make is, who their manufacturer is, maybe even get a number off of them, whatever it may be. Why has nobody else done it? There are private citizens doing it in New Jersey, but why hasn't the military done this? Then they send up this cuck boy, just absolute shell of a human being, John Kirby, who has decided, I don't know how many years ago, to bend over and grab his ankles for the globalist left and simply be a stenographer for the globalist left and the Democratic Party, losing all human dignity, losing all integrity, and just become a mouthpiece for the globalist left and Democratic Party to go up to podium and say nonsensical things like this. Play for me, Brent.
I want to go back to something I said at the top. There has been no evidence of any of this activity in or near restricted spaces.
That's not what the senators said in the letter. They said, in fact, that they've been observed maneuvering their critical infrastructure, sensitive locations, including reservoirs and military installations, and cited a concern from law enforcement about public safety threats because a medevac helicopter was prevented from transporting a seriously injured patient for care because of the presence of these drones.
I stand by my opening statement.
Can you make that make more sense? Because I think people in New York and New Jersey see drones the size of an SUV over their house every night and think that that doesn't make any sense.
Certainly I understand why people would be looking at this and being concerned about it. We're concerned about it too, which is why we have the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, my goodness, looking at this. And we're taking it seriously. We understand that people are concerned. We understand that they got questions. We got questions too. And we're working hard to get the answers to that. What I can tell you as we sit here today, at 2:16 in the afternoon on the 12th, is we haven't seen any indication thus far that there's a public safety risk, and we haven't seen.
The government know what they are.
We are still investigating this. I can't tell you definitively. I cannot characterize for you definitively what these sightings are. I can just go back to what I said at the opening. We've looked at the imagery. We can't corroborate some of the reported sightings through our own expert analysis using sophisticated detection techniques, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we're putting our pen down here this afternoon and calling it a day. We're going to keep at this. We are continuing to investigate it. As I said in my opening statement, two federal agencies, as well as United States Coast Guard and state and local law enforcement officials, which we are staying in close touch with.
Now, great job by that female reporter right there, actually making Kirby answer a question. It's so funny. He goes, there's been no evidence. Remember that, no evidence. Brent, go ahead and just side by side that one for me right there. Remember, he says, there's no evidence that these drones have flown over military installations or sensitive areas. Drones seen over Naval Weapons Station in Colts Neck, New Jersey. While no direct threats to the installation have been identified, we can confirm multiple instances of unidentified drones entering the airspace above the Naval Weapons Stations. Bill Addison, public affairs officer. So the military is contradicting John Kirby. The military is. They're actually saying, and I love what the female reporter did for once. Somebody's actually doing journalism. So she says, she actually, I don't know if she's reading from this report, but she's reading from a similar report saying that Admiral Kirby, there are reports of these drones flying over military and sensitive areas, and these drones have actually caused traffic problems that have actually caused an ambulance not to be able to reach a hospital. And what's his response after being directly contradicted with evidence? To say, I stand by my original statement. And she says, I love it. She goes, can you make that make more sense? Because New Jerseyans are just trying to come to terms with an SUV above their house flying. I mean, and the guy just stands there. I mean, imagine being so devoid of a soul, of integrity, of human dignity, of self-worth, that you can just be a whore for somebody. Just go up there and they can just jam their hand up your anal puppet chute and have you talk for them like John Kirby. There's reports that they're flying above the naval air stations and sensitive areas. And you're going to say your response is, I stand by my original lie? What does that even mean? And I love how she goes, can you make that more sense? Because people are trying to figure out how to come to terms with SUVs with props flying above their houses every night. And no explanation from the DOD. I mean, the FBI's going to do what? They're going to go out there in their Al Gore SUVs and get out and flash their badges. There's no pro-lifers out there for them to harass. There's no J6ers out there for them to arrest. What are they going to do? They're not motivated unless there's somebody with a MAGA hat on. So what are they going to do? Stand around with binoculars? This should be, obviously, when you're having multiple, when you have 50 drones a night flying in from the ocean, I would assume that's a military situation. Wouldn't you, Aaron?
Yeah.
50, you're standing out on the beach and you're watching flying in from the pitch black darkness over the ocean. That it might be a military situation. And why can't we spend the money? I mean, has it all been spent in Ukraine? Why can't we come up with a couple hundred grand and figure out what's going on here? Why don't we scramble some F-15s, some helicopters, some military drones, some AWACS planes? Why are we not scrambling any of these reconnaissance vehicles that we have? Why? Well, I mean, explain. Aaron said November 18th. November 18th, 19th, 20th, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. And then 12 days, or what is today? 14th? Is today the
12th?
13th.
Yep.
Then 13 days of December, we can't figure out what's going on in the air? Imagine being able to walk up to a podium with such galactic levels of ineptitude and offer some sort of half-baked, stupid statement. Like John Kirby. All right, Brian, let's go to the next one. Carly Brunet video. Switching now. That was the drone portion of the show. Switching. Let's go to the border. It's a bunch of random stuff to start off the show. We're going to do border here for this slide and the next one. All right, Carly Brunet video. Warning, this is going to make you mad. And that's the title from Carly, but I'm saying it to you also. This is going to make you mad unless you've seen it already and gotten over it. Play for me.
Warning, this may make you mad. An amazing story for you tonight about what the Biden administration is doing with parts of the southern border wall, the wall that's supposed to keep illegal immigrants out of the U.S. National correspondent William Lajeunesse has the incredible details from Los Angeles. Good evening, William.
Well, Brett, the amazing part is President Trump already said he wants to finish building the border wall. So why would President Biden sell something taxpayers already paid for, knowing it could be used? Yet we found huge sections of the wall on an Arizona highway leaving the border to be sold as scrap for pennies on the dollar. It's going to one of three locations in Arizona where President Biden is selling hundreds of tons of state-of-the-art steel wall taxpayers already paid billions for and ready to go in the ground when Trump takes office. According to the auction website, the government is taking bids starting at $5 each for each lot of 40,000 pounds of welded steel and concrete, fence, roughly 150 steel beams. Border Patrol agent Art Del Cueto inspected the bollards and said there was nothing wrong with the panels.
I mean, honestly, that's just a slap in the face, not just to the agents that are out there working, to the American public as a whole. They could have just left these panels alone.
Well, last year, the government sold more than 700 of the 30-foot steel segments for roughly $200 a piece, meaning taxpayers took a loss of about 10 grand for each one. President Trump installed 455 miles of steel fencing. An additional 250 miles was under construction when President Biden halted construction, leaving huge piles of light poles, electrical supplies, crushed rock, and steel rotting in the desert. I found this pile near Yuma about 3 years ago. Now, the incoming border official with President Trump told me he was outraged because they could use these things. Now, DHS had us call the Army Corps of Engineers, which told us to call the Defense Logistics Agency, who handles the auction. They told us to call the Secretary of Defense, and they said put it in an email. Back to you.
One.
All right, so let's go over the numbers here. First of all, you'll hear idiots like Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris say that Donald Trump built about 8 miles of wall. Aaron, he built 455 miles of wall. 455 miles. 250 miles on top of that were under construction. So you're looking at 700 miles of wall that was either built or under construction. And they'll claim that he built 8 miles of wall. So they're bold-faced, disgusting, repulsive liars. And just imagine the audacity. I'm getting all fired up. I might end up going longer. I'm all fired up now. I didn't feel like talking. So, I mean, here we go. But anyway, this just royally ticks me off. Imagine the audacity of all of these All these construction materials, all these wall materials out in the desert already paid for. This money was taken out of the military budget to build this wall, and you just leave them out there? Why wouldn't you just simply build the wall? They're always talking about building some sort of tech wall with lasers and all, whatever. You already got this out here. It's already been fully funded. All of it's funded, not just the materials. It was funded to be constructed. It's right there. Why would you? I mean, imagine the audacity of just allowing us to lose billions of dollars. Here's the dollars. Last year, Biden sold 700 pieces of the wall for pennies on the dollar, losing $10,000 per piece. And he sold 700 of them. Aaron, see if you can do 700 times 10,000. $7 million lost.
Yep.
That's what we know about. Now he's currently selling them for these $10,000 bars of steel. He's selling them for between $500 and $400. We are $36 trillion in debt. Before Trump takes office, we'll be $37 trillion in debt. And we're selling things that have already been bought, and the construction's already been paid for too. So we've already paid everybody to build it. They're not building it, and we're selling the materials for pennies on the dollar. I mean, this is, imagine just existing that way as a human being like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, just throwing away billions of dollars, just billions, and sleeping like a baby at night. The rest of us would be in federal prison. Now, I don't know what's going on with Eric Adams. Weird stuff has happened. You got Zuckerberg giving a million. Believe me, I don't believe any of these people. Believe me, Bezos and Zuckerberg, Altman, giving the money to Trump's inauguration. I know, but here's the thing. It's kind of weird. All of this stuff. I mean, listen, I've seen presidents elected, the ones that I can remember. I can remember Jimmy Carter being elected. But way back then, I can remember everybody since then. And nobody has ever come and kissed the ring like everybody's kissed the ring with Trump. People are freaking terrified. I love it. I don't know what's going on with Eric Adams. I do know what's going on in my own mind. In my opinion, I know what's going on. My opinion is, he's indicted. So you know what? He's now going to cozy up to the people who are going to be running his indictments out of the DOJ, which will be Pam Bondi, but potentially Cash Patel. So he wants to make sure that he's tight with the Trump administration. The key thing to remember about Eric Adams is, listen, he's a turd, hyper-leftist, sycophant, bent over for Biden, everything else, so we don't need to believe in this guy, but we know we need to recognize when people are doing a pseudo-right thing or are appearing to do a right thing, so we'll recognize it. What happened with Eric Adams, as you've heard illustrated on the show before, is that he was complaining habitually because tens of thousands, at least 10,000 a month, 10,000 illegal aliens a month were showing up on his doorstep in NYC. So he was complaining to the Biden administration, I need more money or you need to stop the flow. Well, he was flying to, and Aaron remembers this story. He was flying. He was on his flight to meet with Biden at the White House. Never ended up meeting him. It's kind of weird, isn't it? They have a scheduled meeting. They never end up meeting because while he was en route and in the air, his campaign finance director's home was raided by the FBI. Isn't that weird? Weird, isn't that? Whenever a Democrat does actually turn against the Democratic Party, they end up getting raided or investigated, just like all of us on the Republican side. So he turns around, never meets with Biden, comes back, and then he gets indicted for things that are years and years old. And I'm not defending him. They could be valid charges. I'm just saying. Suddenly he gets indicted because he's complaining about, it's not an immigration, I don't want to call it, because Democrats always say, they're always talking about, you know, Republicans are against immigration. Nobody's against immigration. Everybody's against, the Republican side, are against illegal immigration. We're against a border invasion. Nobody's against, remember the numbers. We allow in 1 million, one over a million legal immigrants per year that go through the process, not counting the 15,000 per day that Biden's allowing in. We allow in, that's been shut off now because of Trump's threats of tariffs. So they've shut that valve off now. It took Trump to do it. Trump not even being president has accomplished more since being the president-elect than Biden has in 3 years and 10 months. But just remember, we allow in 1 million per year, but that's chain migration. So it's 1 million that are counted, but it can be up to 8 per person. So 1 million up to times 8, times 3, times 4, because they're bringing in uncle, aunt, father, mother, daughter, sister, son, wife, chain migration. That's what we allow in anyway. So when nobody's, I've never spoken out against that, although that, I believe now it needs to shut off. We don't even need to allow any legal immigration outside of very selective people. But Eric Adams has somehow had a come to Jesus moment, because now he's going to basically every podium he can find and speaking against illegal immigration. And listen to him just absolutely out the Biden administration. Play for me, Brent.
We have 500,000 children who have sponsors in this country that we can't find. We can't find them. We don't know if they're doing child labor. We don't know if they're doing sex crimes. We don't know if they're being exploited. 500,000 children. There's a level of hypocrisy that everyone that states they want to protect everyone, but innocent individuals who are victims of crimes and children. I want to support and protect children and innocent people that are victims of crime. And those who don't understand that, it's not up to me to try to convince them. I know what my job is, my goal is, and I was clear of that while running and when I became mayor. Safety means everything to me. 500,000 children, we don't know where they are right now in this country.
Now, he understands the system because the numbers that we've been given is 325, and we know that's the palatable number. You're like, Tom, that's not palatable. It's what they deem that you can handle. It's 1 to 5 times that many. It starts at 600,000. According to CBP statistics, it's always 1 to 5 times more than what they release because they don't know how many people actually cross the border. But notice he absolutely, without outing the Biden administration, outs the Biden administration because currently the Biden administration is prosecuting him, so he's not going after them wholeheartedly. But he actually says 500,000 sponsored kids. What does that mean? That they were taken into custody by CBP, by NGOs, and then let loose into the country to sponsors and then disappeared. Remember, we've talked about it. There was a strip club in Florida they were delivering kids to. Like the strip, we don't know, but they were being delivered over and over again to a strip club. That was the address, the sponsor's address. So he's diming out the immigration system. He is diming out Alejandro Mayorkas right here because he's saying it's not just kids that have come, these, you know, gotaways or kids that we don't know they're across the border. Because gotaways are people that are actually tracked. They see them get away. So all the numbers are actually way more than what we think. Because we have the ones that actually go through the system. Then we have the ones that we see don't go through the system, but we see them get away, gotaways, and the people we have no idea who cross the border. So he knows how the numbers work. And he hasn't always been on top of it. I'm calling him out right now. Where have you been for 3.5 years, Eric? Where have you been since Biden opened up the border? It opened up like a giant faucet. 15,000 illegals per day crossing the border, per day. Under the Trump administration, 8,000 per month. Under the Biden administration, 15,000 per day. Per day. Per day, double what Trump allowed in per month. And he dimes them out because he says, these are sponsored kids. These are the ones who have gone through Alejandro Mayorkas' system. These are the ones who an address was actually chosen for them to go to. And they went to that address and have since disappeared into the wind. He says 500,000. The official record is 325,000. Remember, they started off with 85,000. Because they put out the numbers that you believe, that they believe are palatable for you, that you can absorb, that you can take. And then the real numbers come out, just like they do with the Biden jobs report. Hey, we've gained 174,000 jobs. And it gets revised down to 3,000 jobs 3 months later. They put out whatever they believe is palatable for you and then bury the real headline back on page 7. So all these kids were sponsored and are missing. They're not just in the wind. They're not just gotaways. They're not just assumptions. They were sponsored and now are gone, disappeared, into sex slavery and labor slavery. And by the way, a lot of them are no longer in the country. They've been shipped overseas to spend the rest of their lives. The rest of their, you know, probably most of them won't live because they could testify against people. They may have been shipped overseas to various child sex slavery shops and everything else. All right, change the subjects again. Here they are. Here's a list of billionaires that have given to the Trump inaugural fund. Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, so the company, not Zuckerberg himself, his company donates to the inaugural fund $1 million. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Look at all these slides. All these count for me right here. The Epic Times, Amazon will donate. Notice how the person's not doing it. The company's doing it. donate $1 million to Trump. Go to the next one for me. Mario Nafalt, then Sam Altman. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman donates $1 million to Trump's inaugural fund. What in the world is going on here? And let me just, I'll just say the one thing that needs to be said. I don't know much about Sam Altman. Obviously, we all know who Bezos and Zuckerbucks is. But Donald Trump needs to remember something. He does. He's not going to buy into Zuckerberg. He knows. Zuckerberg has done nothing but sabotage Donald Trump from day one. Banned all of his commentators off of Facebook, off of Instagram. I can't do anything on Instagram except show pictures of my dog. If I go on there and say 3 seconds worth of anything that I'm saying in this podcast tonight, I'm banned. I haven't been able to friend any. But if Zuckerberg's going to now become alt right, or he's going to embrace MAGA and he's going to make videos of himself surfing with an American flag with Born in the USA playing in the background, which he's done, then he needs to unban all of us, or everything that he's doing means nothing. Him showing up at UFC events and acting like he's a staunch patriot and hanging around Donald Trump and going and having lunch or dinner at Mar-a-Lago means nothing, while all of Trump's people are banned. And banned everybody. He actually killed people because he didn't allow alternatives to the vaccination. So he killed people by pimping and whoring the vaccination. He killed people by pimping and whoring masks. He killed people by pimping and whoring lockdowns on Facebook and didn't allow any alternative use that would have saved lives. Like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine, like monoclonal therapies. All that was banned off of Facebook. And those things actually save lives. People die needlessly because of Mark Zuckerberg. And he's come out and confessed to it all. So since he's confessed and said that he feels like, again, and I'm throwing around anal puppet shoot tonight. My wife's not going to like that. But if you're going to be a guy who has the FBI and the State Department's hand up your anal puppet shoot talking through you, if you're going to do that, then you're going to confess to it. Then ought you now, if you're going to confess to and say that it was wrong for me to be a puppet for the globalist left, shouldn't you then reverse what you've done? Why has he not reversed it? Because he still believes in the globalist left. He's just trying to be politically expedient right now. All right, let's go to the next one. Speaking of political expediency, here's Lisa Murkowski. Okay, and again, I'll try not to go into a long diatribe on this, but credit Bongino, most Republicans are Democrats, but no Democrats are Republicans. Many people like Murkowski, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, the people from the past like Ben Sass, people from the present, John Cornyn, John Thune, numerous others, Rob Portman, I can name and go Marco Rubio. These people are not conservatives. They're holding those seats by lying so that genuine conservatives don't take those seats. They're holding those seats so they can usher forward the narrative and the agenda that they truly believe in, which is the globalist agenda, leveraging you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. That's what they really believe in. People like Murkowski, but sometimes she votes Republican. She has to give herself some measure of legitimacy and credibility. She has to do it. But she really is. She has to. Otherwise, you won't. She's from Alaska. Otherwise, and by the way, they have the ranked choice voting in Alaska. That's the only reason why she's there right now. It's a fraudulent system. It's put in place by globalists. It's put in place. I'm not saying this that I know this. I'm just assuming it. By people like Soros. Ranked choice voting. Give me a break. I don't have time to get into that right now. But anyway, Lisa Murkowski is the embodiment of the fake, and I don't mean weak, I mean fake. I mean saboteur from the Democratic Party. She's a Democrat. Her liberty score is a D. She votes most of the time with Ilhan Omar and Chuck Schumer. Why has she called herself a Republican? Listen to her nonsensical explanation of how things are going right now. Play for me, Brent.
But I think it's going to be hard, quite honestly. I think it's going to be hard in these next 4 years. Because you have an administration coming in that has had an opportunity to kind of see how things work, what didn't work, and now we've had 4 years to think about it, and the approach is going to be everybody toe the line. Everybody line up. We got you here, and if you want to survive, You better be good. Don't get on Santa's naughty list here, because we will primary you. And my friend Joni Ernst, who is probably one of the more conservative, principled Republican leaders in the Senate right now, is being hung out to dry for not being good enough. And you're going to get primaried. Well, you know, what's this all about? Why are we doing this to ourselves? So I think we're getting a little bit of a preview now of what it's going to mean to be allegiant to party. And I don't think that that's going to help us as a Republican Party, believe it or not. And I think it's going to energize and charge up the Democrats to say, all right, the Republicans are going to overreach. They're going to overreact. And so we're going to have an opportunity.
All right, so back to front. She's going to give advice. This idiot who's been a senator for I don't know how long. She's been elected at least twice. So she's going to give advice when we are $37 trillion in debt. She's good, as if she's some sort of expert and knows how to run the political landscape in any way, shape, or form. She's going to give advice, and I'm going again back to front. You're going to get primary. Yeah, that's right. You know what? If you're not a Republican, then why wouldn't a Republican primary you for the Republican position? If you're not going to legislate as a Republican, then why would we not primary you out of the Republican seat? I mean, it's absolutely, everything she says is absolutely nonsensical. Everybody better line up. You better be good. Yeah, what does it mean to be good? Be a good Republican. Vote pro-life, Lisa. Vote small government, Lisa. Vote for not lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts for 12-year-olds, Lisa. Vote to defund Planned Parenthood. Lisa, yeah, we're asking you to line up and follow the Republican platform. Everything she says makes no sense. It's like if you had a group of raccoons and you wanted to join the raccoons and call yourself a raccoon and you were a tiger, they're going to let you in. No, you have no characteristics of a raccoon. Go be a Democrat. But she's a thief. She's a saboteur. She's an imposter. I mean, literally, you honestly believe she voted for Donald Trump? Do you think she ever voted for Donald Trump? Ever in life? Do you honestly believe she ever votes for a Republican? No, ever. She doesn't believe in it. Does she sound like a conservative to you? Thank you, Aaron. Lisa Murkowski has been in the U.S. Senate since 2002. Let's go over those and I'm leaving this up for me, Aaron. Of course, she comes from a political lineage. 2002, what was our debt? Less than $1 trillion. Before George W. Bush got a hold of it and made it $8 trillion. Right then, probably was $1 trillion. Because, listen, even when Clinton, who built a lot of deficit, by old standards, he built a lot of deficit. And he but just under $1 trillion. That's what we were just 24 years ago, less than $1 trillion. And right now, we're on the cusp of $37 trillion. We're adding $1 trillion per 90 days now. Lisa Murkowski from Aaron has been a U.S. senator since 2002, 22 freaking years. What's she ever accomplished? Can anybody name what she's accomplished? Anybody? I can't think of one thing. All she does is pretend to be a Republican so that she can control Republican presidents. That's all that she does. So she can mitigate and sabotage Republican administrations and Republican initiatives. She was appointed to the Senate by her daddy. Gosh, dog, what a wretched, wretched, horrible. Aaron sent me this. Now I'm more fucking pissed.
You're welcome.
Gosh. It just reminds me of Hunter Biden's WhatsApp message. I'm sitting here with my daddy. These people. Gosh, dog. It's like Newsom and Pelosi. It's all this lineage of hell.
Yep.
She was appointed to the Senate by her daddy, Governor Frank Murkowski, in December 2002 to fill the vacancy he left when he became governor. What? Wait, what? So he's the senator. He becomes governor and puts his daughter in a senatorial seat. Folks, like, just beat me with a baseball bat. Gosh, dog, man. To fill the vacancy, whatever. She has since been elected for several full terms, most recently in 22, through ranked choice balloting. If it wasn't that way, if it wasn't ranked choice voting, she would not be the senator. Come on, Alaska. Wake freaking up. Put Sarah Palin in there. All right, go to the next one for me. I don't even know where I'm at. Mario Nofal tweet. I had to show you this. Speaking of debt, can't be done. Can't be. Aaron, see if you can find out how long Malay's been. He hasn't been, but maybe a year or so. Malay's been the prime minister or president over Argentina. But look at Malay. who, by the way, is not exactly hard right. Okay, he's right leaning, but fiscally right, but fiscally right wing. Milei, Argentina ends deficit for the first time in 123 years. Again, know the difference between debt and deficit. Debt is our overall debt that we owe. Deficit is what we overspend every year. Right now, our budget is 6.8. He got it in December, so 1 year.
Yep.
1 year he's eliminated deficit. How many times have you heard George W. Bush say he's going to eliminate deficit? Billy Clinton, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford. Going to eliminate the debts and deficits. Ever heard Billy Clinton, W. Bush, Hussein Obama. Remember, Hussein Obama said that Bush's $8 trillion debt was immoral. And then Hussein built a $11 trillion debt, building us to $19 trillion. Amazing, isn't it? More than before Biden, more debt than any president in history had accumulated. Biden, of course, broke it because Biden accumulated almost $13 trillion worth of debt in 4 years. Obama, at least, scattered out his $11 trillion over eight. So the deficit is what we overspend every year. It's the money that's not covered in tax dollars, in tax revenue. Our budget right now is $6.8 trillion per year, but we only bring in $4.5 trillion in tax revenue. So every year we're accumulating another $2 trillion. Yes. Exactly. $7 trillion alone went to COVID. Of the $7 trillion that went to COVID, only $800 billion was spent on COVID. So $6.2 trillion disappeared into the wind. I'm not going to get off into that. It's 30 minutes and it's already 9:40. I can't. Is it really 9:45?
Yes.
What happened? I really thought it was 9:17.
Short night. Short night.
It's going to be a short night. 10:15, we're done. So he has eliminated the deficit in 1 year. They no longer spend more than what they bring in. Why can't we do that? Yeah, I mean, we showed it on the show what we spend all this money on. Absolutely ridiculous. Sterilizing frogs and guppy research and checking out the sex habits of pigeons on cocaine. I'm not kidding. I'm not making any of that up, but true. I mean, those specific examples aren't true. I'm just telling you, but that's exactly, they're just like that. The deficit was the root of all evils. Without it, Milei speaking, there's no debt, no emission, no inflation. Today, no inflation. If you don't debt, you don't have inflation. You have to print money. Wouldn't that be nice for everybody? Or do you like spending $10 for a 12-pack of Coke? When literally 1 year ago it was $4.50, and that was expensive. Today, we have sustained fiscal surplus, free of default. Sounds like DeSantis is Florida. For the first time in 123 years, it can be done. All it takes is the balls to do it. And yeah, I'm illustrating. Balls to do it. Man. All fired up. All right, let's go to the next one. Judicial Watch tweet. More on 1-6 here. This is interesting, right? Outrageous. Record shows U.S. Capitol Police meeting with a top official in Pelosi's office about Lieutenant Byrd. Oh, they're talking about like firing him for shooting Ashley Babbitt through the neck for no reason. You don't have to put Brent on, but Brent, you want to answer, you can. I'm just curious. You have a lot of law enforcement experience. I have a lot of law enforcement experience. And I can't say we've never discussed it, but you may or may not have pointed your gun at anybody in your career. But anyway, do you shoot somebody where you can't see their hands and they're unarmed, or do you determine whether or not they're armed before you shoot them?
You wait.
Yeah, you'd wait. You know, it's a 115-pound woman crawling through a window, and Byrd has got her in his sights. And it's the opposite angle. So he's got her, in her sights right there. A man who's known to leave his firearm in the bathroom. But anyway, I digress. And shoot at a car for no apparent reason, with no justification. But anyway, so he's got her, and right in his line of sight are three Capitol Hill police officers right behind him. So they could just simply pull her back, but they're not doing it. So why are they not doing it? Wouldn't that be part of your processes, your progression of use of force? Is my fellow officers are behind her. First of all, crossfire. Second of all, they could easily grab a hold of her. She's a 115-pound woman. He says the reason why he shot her was because he could not see her hands. She's crawling through a window. What could her hands be doing other than crawling through a window? What are they going to do? Here's the top of the window. Try to put. They're right here. They're right here. There's her hands. What could be under her hands other than window? And if she's like this, how the heck is she a threat to you? But he shoots her through the neck anyway, and she could have been saved, but then they didn't give her proper resuscitation, just like Roseanne Borland when they broke the defibrillator. That wonderful Capitol Hill Police Department, the galactic, just the galactic puppet show of stupidity and cowardice and bold-faced, perjurous liars. Gunnell, Dunn, Fanone, liars. So what was this meeting about? Their ideas range from giving him a car. Unbelievable. To closing costs of purchasing him a new home. This is what Pelosi's staff was meeting about. Can you honestly believe that? I mean, honestly, I'm absolutely floored. And by the way, just so everybody knows, in case you didn't know, he's been promoted to captain since then.
Oh.
Yeah, congratulations. Good. All right, that's good. I might have more on him. I don't know, maybe later. I think I do. Yeah, but anyway. Charlie Kirk video, hopping all over the place. Now we're looking at Ryan Routh, the guy who attempted to assassinate Donald Trump. This is information I didn't know. You may have known it, but I didn't know it. Play for me, Brent.
We got two new revelations from the Trump Assassination Task Force. According to their report, the Secret Service agent who spotted Ryan Routh in the bushes outside Trump's golf course was only 5 feet away when he opened fire and missed him. Not once, not twice, six times. He missed him six times from 5 feet. How does a trained agent who passed the firearms test miss a target away, 5 feet away? That's not all. The report says the Secret Service found out at 2:30 in the morning that Trump would be golfing later that day, but they didn't secure the course, allowing Ruth to camp out for 12 hours before anyone saw him. Meanwhile, Ruth appeared in federal court this morning and his legal team signaling they're going to go with the insanity defense. How convenient. Ruth's public defender said he has had multiple meetings with a mental health expert while in jail, and the witnesses who saw him before the arrest say he was hallucinating and delusional, of course. Prosecutors also revealed that Ruth has been doing a lot more writing behind bars than initially reported. Ruth has written nearly 40 letters to news outlets in an attempt to persuade them that he's an honorable guy, but they were intercepted before they reached their targets. We also know that only 17 of the 18 cell phones found in Ruth's possession belong to him. Why does he have 18 cell phones? And wait, he has 17. So who owns the last phone? And why did Ruth have it?
I'll say, so again, and Brent, you can chime in. Seriously, if you start chiming in, put him on camera. Okay, did you have to pass firearms qualifications at least once per year, right?
Every 6 months.
So I think we were the same thing. So we had to pass at least once a year at Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. Okay, listen, folks. As a cop, I can see in the moment missing one time. If I'm 5 feet away, a stationary target. Folks, gosh dog. You're a Secret Service officer. You're supposed to be the creme de la creme of law enforcement. Let me just tell you something about these federal agencies. They freaking suck. Mm-hmm. They've never handled police calls. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. Like you want a crime solved, I'll go to the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office before I'd ever go to the FBI. Those guys work crimes all the time. I got friends to this day that are detectives at Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. I would go to them to solve a crime more than I'd ever go to the FBI because they're handling crimes all the time. And before that, they were street-level cops handling rudimentary street-level crime all the time. We're just solving a petty theft. You're solving a grand theft of this or grand theft auto, whatever it may be, you're solving the crimes that night. They actually know how to work crimes. And you know what else? They know how to shoot their freaking guns. 5 feet away and you miss six times?
Wow.
And that shows you he was 5 feet away, all six shots. So he was stationary. Was he shooting him like this? Pow, 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 pow. So you can say he attempted to shoot him? How do you miss? There's no way on earth anybody with any skill level would ever miss that shot. 5 feet, folks. I am 7 feet from the camera. Right there is 5 feet. Gosh, dog, man. Such ineptitude. And they find out Trump's going to go golfing at 2 a.m. Gives him play because Trump's up all night. He's like me and Aaron up all night. So They find out Trump's, hey, I'm going golf at 2 a.m. They have 12 hours. 12 hours. We're going to be on this show together tonight for an hour and 15 minutes, roughly. They had 12 hours. So just imagine, we could all secure the golf course from the time that the show started. I could have secured it as a deputy sheriff in an hour. Start making calls. We need people out here. That's it. Done.
Yeah.
It's the end of it. Done. Call the watch commander. Done. Call people out. Done. That's the end of it. Nothing to it. Worst comes to worst, you call it the SWAT team. Secure the golf course. These people are so inept or purposely inept. Purposeful malfeasance. An actual scandal. An actual plot against them. We don't know. But they have 12 hours and they don't secure the course. So they end up having to sic their Secret Service agent on this Ryan Routh shooter, who's a Ukrainian soldier recruiter. Strange how that works, isn't it? Don't have time to get into that. That's 30 minutes. So they sic their Secret Service agent on this guy who goes up there and shoots at him 6 times from 5 feet away and misses all 6 times. Amazing. Truly, the ineptitude is truly amazing. All right, you got Jason Whitlock next, because that's not Jason Whitlock. Oh, yeah, it is. You're right. Yep, it is.
Vigilant Fox.
Yep, it's right. Vigilant Fox. Just in, Diddy is now facing explosive rape allegations from, this hurts, 3 men. Play for me, Brett.
These 3 lawsuits filed by men, and I'm not saying that I favor men over women. I'm saying it's just very rare for men to come forward and discuss potential sexual assault, all right, to say that they were drugged and raped by Combs. The lawyer representing them says he turned down dozens of other claims. Why? He didn't know that they were winners. So why these cases? All right, lawsuit number one. Man claims he went to a party at Diddy's home in the Hamptons 2020. Says he was given a drink, began to fade in and out, one drink. And Diddy and his associates sodomized him and took turns raping him. Lawsuit number two. Man says he met Diddy 2019 at a nightclub, invited back to his hotel. Diddy gave him a drink. Guy says it made him sick. Diddy told him to lie down and said to others, he's ready to party. When he woke up, the man said he was lying naked on his stomach. Diddy was sodomizing him, and a man and woman were recording it. Next morning, one of Diddy's associates gave him $2,500 cash on behalf of Diddy. Lawsuit number three. Man who worked for Diddy says in 2020 he went to his hotel room for a meeting. Diddy made him a drink, made him very tired. Diddy told him to take a nap. When he woke up, Diddy was sodomizing him. When he tried to resist, Diddy told him he was almost done. Afterwards, Diddy told him he was going to the police. His going to the police would make him look like an idiot because he'd never be able to substantiate his claims. He also says Diddy's entourage called and threatened him to stay quiet. Diddy's attorneys responded to the 3 lawsuits. These complaints are full of lies. We're going to prove them false and seek sanctions against every unethical lawyer who filed fictional claims against him. The attorney for these 3 that I just detailed is Thomas Jiffra, and he joins me now.
See, it's just a reverse honeypot. It's extortion. Nobody wants to find out that Diddy diddied them with his Diddy. Nobody wants to be outed that they got diddied by Diddy's Diddy. Stop laughing, Brent. So that's what they do. So then, you know what? You'll say what they tell you to say. Vote for Hussein Obama, who's married to a man. I mean, come on. It's getting bad with Mike. When he comes running out the building and things are jiggling around, I mean, there's really no explanation. No. But anyway, it's just there's basically everything that you and I think is real is not. I mean, I know most 860 people that I can see watching right now, 10 seconds from right now will be off of Global CTN in just about 5 seconds from right now. So switch over to Rumble. But anyway, we're all red-pilled. We know what's going on for the most part. A lot of you are more red-pilled than I am because I just really got red-pilled 5 years ago. I was a staunch conservative Republican Bible thumper, but I mean, I'm just saying, I've really been red-pilled now because this is all a massive extortion scheme, whether it's Epstein, and the only reason why they arrested Diddy is because Diddy must know something, or Diddy has threatened to out his handlers, or his handlers are now uncomfortable with what Diddy knows, so now they go raid his home because they've been using him to honeypot people, the reverse honeypot extortion of them raping men so they can control men. Because nobody wants to be outed that they were raped by Diddy's Diddy. That's the thing. I mean, and that's what Chris Cuomo, who's acting like he's red-pilled these days, too. He's like, you know, men just don't come forward. They don't. But three men are suing him. I mean, that's unusual. And I was at, and I'm like asking Aaron, do you really think of this is true? Aaron believes absolutely it's true. I mean, listen, innocent until proven guilty, but we'll have to see. But how many witnesses there are? And is Jay-Z, right?
Yeah,
Jay-Z's also got one of these lawsuits on him. Yep. That it was him and Diddy Diddying.
Yes.
I think it was a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
13-year-old girl. All right, speaking of lies, big lies come out. I don't know how many of you remember the Duke lacrosse rape case. Well, the accuser has now come out and said, finally, they were all exonerated because it's all bull-faced lies from the beginning. I don't have time to get into it. Great. There are great videos about it. You got to watch them. About this is all just conjured up by leftists, as always, for their political expedient reasons, and staffers, the faculty on, the faculty at Duke, they all jumped on board with all this and just wanted to crucify all of these white lacrosse players because they're privileged white people. Well, now, from Jason Whitlock, the Duke lacrosse accuser admits she was lying. I took a lot of heat 18 years ago, calling this out in real time. That was Jason Whitlock talking. It was obvious 18 years ago. Absolutely was obvious, and now she's confessed. Play for me, Brent.
And I testified falsely against them by saying that they raped me when they didn't. And that was wrong. And I betrayed the trust of a lot of other people who believed in me. And made up a story that wasn't true because I wanted validation from people and not from God. And that was wrong. And I hope that they can forgive me.
It's the first time she's confessed a lie. 18 years says nothing. I mean, you're a soulless. I just wish I could cuss right now, but I'm not going to do it, of course. But I have repetitive cussing. But there's times where I still want to break those words out. But anyway, Aaron said it while we were watching this. Believe all women, right? See, again, if you've ever been in law enforcement, you know that women will lie about being raped. Doesn't mean people aren't raped. They are raped. But there is definitive traits of somebody who was actually raped. She never exhibited any of those traits. And by the way, it was very easy. Very Nifong is the name of the prosecutor at the time in North Carolina. Chapel Hill. No, Chapel Hill is UNC, wherever Duke is. Aaron, find that for me because it's going to drive me crazy. Duke University, where is it at? But anyway, Nifong just ignored everything because he was a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist. And he wanted to be elected into his, you know, district attorney, state attorney, Durham. Thank you, Aaron. You're awesome. Durham, North Carolina. Wanted to be the Durham prosecutor. Well, he already was. He wanted to be the next level up. Wanted to get district attorney, whatever, state attorney, build his name. Well, he's a bold-faced liar and lied under oath and was sanctioned by the court for lying under oath as the prosecutor. Just like our IGs are getting right now. The Pentagon's IG, who has lied about 1/6 and has now admitted lying about 1/6, as we illustrated last night. But it was very easy from the beginning because she said that she was raped. And she went right to the hospital afterwards because she was actually found unconscious at the scene. Now, I don't want to be gross, but hey, it's already 10:02 and we're off CTN. But what would you find inside of a woman, just like they find inside of little 10-year-old girls at the border because Joe Biden has allowed them to be raped 50 times on their way up from the Darien Gap? And so have the Catholic and Jewish charities have also facilitated their multiple rapes throughout that journey. But I digress. What would you find? You'd find semen in that woman, correct? She claims she was raped by multiple lacrosse players. She went... And there was no way for her ever to clean herself up. And she never said that she cleaned herself up. She said she was raped. She never said that she cleaned herself up. I'm leaving out some key words here, but you know what I'm talking about. Because she went right from being unconscious to the hospital where she claimed she was raped by multiple players. There's not one scintilla of semen in her. They tested all 47 players that ever entered the house, even players who were never in the house while she was there. They charged one player who had exculpatory evidence that he wasn't even in Durham County that night. That's this prosecutor. It sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like 1/6, doesn't it?
Yep.
And if you don't trust the system, You're an insurrectionist or a threat to democracy? Until Joe Biden doesn't trust the system enough to pardon his son. Doesn't trust the system enough, so he pardons his son. So she doesn't have 1 ounce of semen in her. Not one. And she actually testified, they all raped me without a condom. And Nifong still files charges against him. This sounds like Kyle Rittenhouse. You're sitting there. Kyle Rittenhouse. It's on video. He's getting hit in the neck by a skateboard. A guy comes up to him with a cocked and loaded 9mm pointed at his head, and he turns around and shoots him. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's on video, him defending himself. It is absolutely rudimentary self-defense. I mean, and it gets charged anyway. That's the status of the system that we are in right now. It's the state of our judiciary system. And I know this is 18 years ago, but I just want to show you don't believe all women. You don't believe all accusations. You investigate them all. You don't blow off accusations, but you certainly don't believe them. You believe them based on what? A preponderance of evidence or proof beyond a reasonable doubt or probable cause. That's it. You don't find people guilty or innocent based on the political ramifications of either one. You find them guilty or innocent based on the evidence. Derek Chauvin, think about if you were him right now. 22 years been sentenced to prison. And again, I know this is redundant for those of you that watch this show all the time, but I just like to get this out to people. So maybe it's the same thing with Jerry Sandusky, by the way. Everyone thinks he's guilty. He's not guilty. You need to listen to with the Benefit of Hindsight by John Ziegler on Spotify. There's no witnesses. What Penn State did was start paying people off. Why did nobody come forward for decades? Not one person ever come forward, ever, not one time. But then when they opened up their purse, everybody came forward for the multi-million dollar payouts. Like about 30 people got paid out. Jerry Sandusky, alleged child rapist who doesn't have 1 ounce of child porn. Listen, every child rapist has child porn in their possession. But regardless of that, there's no evidence, there's no witnesses, there's nothing. There's no video, there's no DNA. There's no witnesses. There's no corroborating evidence. But because people were scared of the ramifications of finding him innocent, they found him guilty. Imagine living with yourself like that. There's no evidence. You're like, Tom, you have to believe Sandusky's guilty. No, I don't. Will it cost me viewers? Okay, it cost me viewers. Will it make people call me a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist? I don't care. What's true is true. Look into it. Actually, look into it. It's just like they say, there's no evidence that there was significant enough for... election fraud to overturn the 2020 election. Those are from all the people who never look into it.
Yeah.
Actually, watch Benefit of Hindsight with John Ziegler. It's riveting. It's riveting. I had him on the show for an hour, John Ziegler. There's no evidence, but yet he's found guilty. Just like there's no evidence to find General Flynn guilty, who's going to be sentenced to nine years in prison. No evidence that Navarro was guilty, that Bannon was guilty, that Trump was guilty on any of his civil or criminal offenses. Nothing. But yet they're found guilty anyway. And Derek Chauvin's rotting in prison for 22 years. And even with, they stacked up the charges, basically charged him with the same crime multiple ways. Second degree manslaughter, third degree manslaughter, second degree homicide. But over and over again, charged him for the same thing, which you're not even supposed to do. But even with all those charges accumulated together, the average, according to sentencing guidelines in the state of Minnesota, his sentence should have been 11 years. Even with all of those charges stacked up against him, he's found guilty of them all, except for maybe one or two. Should have gotten an 11-year sentence. Instead, he gets 22 years. Tommy, you're just saying that because you're a sycophant for cops. You must not have watched my COVID shows. Certainly not a sycophant for cops. Do I love local law enforcement? I do. Don't like the feds. But listen, local law enforcement's bent over for COVID, too. But anyway, there's no evidence against Chauvin. What's the evidence? Oh, thank you, Aaron. Here's what Chauvin was charged with. Unintentional second-degree murder. Third-degree murder. Second-degree manslaughter. It's all the same offense. Charged multiple different ways. Stacking charges. You're not even supposed to do that. It's like a form of double jeopardy in some ways. But again, I digress. But anyway, Derek Chauvin, is he guilty? Is there any evidence that he's guilty? That he asphyxiated George Floyd? No. He had 95% oxygenation rate at the moment of death. So why is he in prison? Can anybody explain that to me? Can anybody explain to me why he's in prison? Because he's been arrested and charged with and found guilty of asphyxiating George Floyd to death, but George Floyd wasn't asphyxiated. So why is he in prison? How could he have asphyxiated George Floyd when George Floyd wasn't asphyxiated? Well, how could he have strangled George Floyd if he wasn't strangled, to put it in easier verbiage? How? There's no evidence that he was strangled. There wasn't even a bruise on his neck. Even where Chauvin's knee was on the back of his neck, which doesn't asphyxiate you. Ever try to choke somebody out by the back of their neck? You have to hit the arteries here. It's not air, by the way. I can't breathe. It's not air. It's cutting off the blood flow. That's what actually kills people. Yeah, you can choke people to death with air too, but you want to knock them unconscious? It takes like 10 seconds with a rear naked choke, if that. But he's not. So our judicial system is a giant, giant disaster of unfairness, and people are in prison for years for no reason. Look at how many pro-lifers are in prison right now under the Biden administration. Sleep like babies at night, knowing they falsely accused them of violating the FACE Act. But again, I should never get off of the judicial system. But here, I'm going to do it anyway. So here's clemency. Let's get into clemency. Biden grants clemency. Get this now. It's world record. We need to applaud, guys.
Yep.
Come on. Biden set another record. Biden set another record. We got to applaud it. First time in history, a president has granted clemency, which either means pardon or release from prison. So whenever we say clemency, we're including both pardons and releases from prison. Biden grants clemency to 1,539 people in a day. That's never been done in our history before. On December 12, 2024, President Joe Biden issued a significant act of clemency, I would say, pardoning 39 individuals for nonviolent crimes and commuting the sentences of nearly 1,500 people. This action includes notable cases like Michael Conahan, who did what? He ran what's called a Kids for Cash scandal, where this judge was getting kickbacks from a private prison. So kids who are actually innocent or didn't deserve a prison sentence, he made sure they sent him to prison because he was getting kickbacks from the private prison. He got set free by Joe Biden today. There's actually two judges involved. One of the judges, Conahan, was set free. And Rita Crondwell, we're going to go into each one of these. And don't worry, I saw somebody, I can't remember who was talking on here about the three Chinese spies. We'll get to that too. And Rita Crondwell, known for the largest municipal embezzlement in U.S. history. You know what that was? $53 million she embezzled. He just released her too. The decisions, and by the way, she's been on home release because she couldn't stay in prison because of the threat of COVID.
Oh my God.
See what a mess we're in? The decisions have sparked diverse reactions, with some praising the focus on rehabilitation, while others criticize the choices of recipients, particularly in sensitive areas involving child exploitation like Kids for Cash. All right, here we go, Brent. We're going to roll on these things. Fox News video, pardon me, it's titled. Play it for me.
President Biden commuting the sentences of thousands of Americans in the largest single day act of clemency. This happening now as he's facing bipartisan backlash for pardoning his own son, Hunter.
The president issuing clemency for nearly 1,500 Americans convicted on a variety of crimes. Overnight, Biden said most of today's commutations will impact people who were placed on home confinement during the pandemic and have shown personal growth. We haven't gotten the full list yet of those impacted. The White House says among the 39 who were issued full pardons, none were violent offenders. In a statement, the president says he'll take more steps in the weeks ahead. The administration will continue reviewing clemency petitions to advance equal justice, promote public safety, support rehabilitation and reentry, and provide meaningful second chances.
Three.
So there we go. So there you have it. 1,539 pardons, clemency, clemency grants in one day. So 1,539 people granted clemency in one day. World record, never happened in the history of the United States of America. Another Biden first. Yashar, elite tweet, Ali, Ali tweet, Ali. Probably Ali, right?
Yeah, like probably. Yashar Ali. Yeah.
Yashar Ali. President Biden commuted the sentence of Rita Crondwell. We're going to do the Americans first, and then we're going to go over to the Chinese spies that he pardoned. Because China, talking about extortion schemes, is extorting Joe Biden at this very minute because they have all the goods on him. So, of course, does Volodymyr Zelensky. That's why they get endless money and they never get investigated. And that's why we don't track our money in Ukraine because Volodymyr Zelensky can say any moment, I'm going to reveal every Biden record that I have from Privat Bank and Metabiota, as well as Burisma, shall I? And then, of course, you had the 2014 Air Force Two flight over to China with Hunter and Joe on the plane, where Hunter secured a $1.4 billion consultancy fee payout from Chinese-controlled banks while in China, flown over by our tax dollars on Air Force Two. Remember that. President Biden commuted the sentence of Rita Cronwell, the woman who embezzled $53 million from a small Illinois town and spent it on luxury goods. I'll tell you what, man. I'm not a huge spender, but listen, if I have some money and I want to spend it, I spend money. Man, $53 million? Holy moly.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's amazing. Luxury goods and real estate and a horse breeding business. Cronwell's scheme was the largest municipal embezzlement in U.S. history and left the town 15,000 people. She got $53 million. Jeez. How did this even happen? And who are the bookkeepers in this freaking town? Who are the watchdogs? The city of Dixon needs to come up with a better accountability system. Issue the statement below in response to the commutation. We won't read that. All right, go to the next one for me, but I'm sure I roll through these. Carly Bonet video. Here's more on Rita Cronwell. Play it for me.
Your sister who wrote in a letter to the judge that she was going to stay with you if she was released.
Do me a favor and kiss my
New at 4, President Biden's decision to grant clemency to nearly 1,500 people is the largest act of clemency by any president. It's being met with anger and frustration, though, in Dixon, Illinois.
That's because Rita Cronwell's name is on the list. She pled guilty to stealing $54 million from taxpayers in the largest municipal heist in U.S. history.
We're not taking any questions.
Do you have anything you want to say to the people of Dixon?
Rita Cronwell was a humble public servant by day, but lived large in almost every other part of her life. A 20-year fraud on her hometown of Dixon, Illinois, that totaled $54 million.
Don't you think you owe the people of Dixon an apology, Rita?
Now, another gut punch for the people of Dixon. Cronwell's name is on a list of 1,500 people granted clemency, meaning her punishment is over.
We're just shocked, outraged. As a community, we feel betrayed by the justice system, by the president.
Danny Langloss was Dixon's police chief when Cronwell's crime was exposed.
She pled guilty to a very serious crime, got near the maximum, and served 8 years. What message does that send to the victims, to our community, and to people across the country who think about doing something like this?
Cronwell was a world-class horseman with a stable and possessions worthy of a queen. She left the impression she served as Dixon's comptroller to give back. The charade crumbled in 2012. Then, in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, WGN Investigates obtained this handwritten letter to the judge begging to be released. With my deteriorating health condition and the danger of the COVID-19 pandemic, I feel like I have been given a death sentence, she wrote. The judge denied release, but the following year, the Bureau of Prisons put her on home confinement, even though she had only served less than half of her sentence. Rita's brother didn't have much interest in talking to me back then.
Sorry to bother you, I'm from WGN.
Bad luck.
Why do I have bad luck?
Because you're a
Well, that's not very nice.
What are you doing here? Well, I live here. What are you bothering me for? Get your camera off my face, you.
Is Rita staying with you?
Or? Rita who? Who would you like?
Your sister who wrote in a letter to the judge that she was going to stay with you if she was released.
Do me a favor and kiss my.
Is it your sense that she was remorseful?
It is not, actually.
Former U.S. Marshal Jason Modillo met with Cronwell in prison several times as he worked to sell her assets.
She conveyed to me more of a sense of disgust that she had been sentenced to so long. You know, she was very visibly shaken by the fact that she was serving a nearly 20-year sentence.
Cronwell has been out of jail on home monitoring since 2021. The president's grant of clemency means there's now no possibility she can be required to return to prison to finish the sentence that wasn't supposed to end until 2029.
The president is commuting the sentences of 1,500 individuals who were placed on home confinement during the COVID-19 pandemic and who have successfully reintegrated into their families and communities.
We've had a dramatic turnaround in 10 years. I was proud to be part of it, but we're not where we would have been if she hadn't been robbing us for 20 years.
Able to reach Rita Cronwell for comment on her clemency. Through the sale of her assets and proceeds from a lawsuit, Dixon taxpayers managed to recover 40 of the $54 million she stole.
Hey, you saw COVID, of course, plays a huge part in all of this because most of these people are already at home because they were released from prison to home detention because they were going to die of a virus with a 0.1% death rate. Let's just calculate All the prisoners, I shouldn't sidetrack into COVID because it's 10:18. I'm over 3 minutes over my prediction, but I shouldn't sidetrack into COVID. But let's find video of all the meat wagons pulling up to the prisons and all the dead bodies being loaded onto those meat truck on the meat wagons from all the dead prisoners. I mean, let's find some video of these medical examiner trucks pulling up, semis maybe, pulling up to prisons and loading up all the dead bodies from all the dead prisoners died of COVID. You know how many prisoners died of COVID? Nobody. Nobody. How many excess deaths we have from COVID? None. How many did Australia have? None. England? None. All the excess deaths started strangely with the least virulent variant in 2021. Weird, isn't it? Right? What was that? Oh, that's when the vaccine rolled out. But I digress. All right, on more. Here's another one for you. Let's go to Shanlin Chen. We're going to do all three in a minute. Here's one of the three. And then we're going to shift back to Americans. This is somebody that Joe Biden commuted a sentence today, pardoned, whatever it was. Now here it starts off, this is the older millennial video, but it starts off with Harry Sisson singing Biden's praises. Play for me, Brent.
President Biden just pardoned 39 people and commuted roughly 1,500 sentences in the largest single day act of clemency in American history.
Yeah, Harry, one of the people he just granted clemency to was a man named Shanlin Jin. Mr. Shanlin Jin was arrested in January of 2021 for being in possession of more than 47,000 images of child corn. At Jin's trial, an FBI agent testified that Jin was connected to some very high level members of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, not only did they discover that his IP address was used in sharing child corn through a peer-to-peer network, but they also found videos on his home computer depicting the essay of an infant by a grown man. And then when they actually executed the search warrant on his house, they found even more videos of infants and toddlers being raped by grown men. And Joe Biden just gave this guy clemency. This guy is being released from prison early because of Joe Biden. Yeah, Harry, I would just ask that you somehow justify that. Because if you're going to celebrate him giving clemency, I want to know why. And I specifically want to know why Shanlin Jin was included in this in any way.
Yeah, I mean, explain to us. I mean, I'd love to know why he was given clemency. This is a guy trading in child pornography. Trading it. And He's Chinese. He's not even an American citizen. Why is he given clemency? There has to be an ulterior motive. It's because China is extorting Joe Biden. All right. Libs of TikTok tweet. Go to that one for me, Brent. Biden commuted the sentence of the judge behind the Kids for Cash scandal. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? The judge was sentenced to 28 years in prison for a kickback scheme where he made millions of dollars for sending children to a for-profit prison. He destroyed thousands of kids' lives. All right, let's go to this one. Go to Libs of TikTok video. Here is the moment that this was not him, but this was the other judge who was part of this Kids for Cash scheme that was going on. Again, what was happening here was you had private prisons, and these judges should have either been sending these kids home with a fine, sending these kids home on probation, but instead of doing that for like cannabis charges, marijuana charges, but instead of doing that, they sent them to these prisons because it's a private prison that makes money per prisoner. And whenever these judges would send one of these kids to this private prison, they would get a kickback from it. And each one of these judges made millions of dollars. Here's the other judge who has not been released by Biden yet being confronted by a mother whose son committed suicide after having to go to one of these prisons. Play for me.
You need to be. You remember me? Do you remember me? Do you remember my son? An all-star wrestler? He's gone. He shot himself in the heart. You scumbag.
A heartbroken, really an outraged mother lashing out at former Judge Mark Civarella. Now, her son, an all-star wrestler, killed himself after being sent to a juvenile detention facility for a minor drug offense. Now it turns out that Civarella was accepting money to do that, send kids away for cash. The former judge was convicted yesterday of 12 counts, including racketeering and money laundering. The judge remains free while he awaits sentencing.
See, and I just say to all the leftists and Democrats out there, there are real-life ramifications of your corruption. Oh, good. We get to send people to prison like Navarro and Bannon. Okay, first of all, turnabout's fair play. Don't ever forget that. If you're going to open the Pandora's box of prosecuting former administrations, fine, if that's what you want to do, no problem. Cash Patel is about to take the reins. Pam Bondi is about to take the reins. Tulsi Gabbard is about to take the reins. Enjoy it, morons. But anyway, there are real-life ramifications. People actually have to suffer after Democratic Party policies go bad. And they're not even going bad. That's what they're meant to do. Abby Gate, 13 families become a Gold Star family in 1 second because of the incompetence of CENTCOM Commander McKenzie, Lloyd Austin, Joe Biden, and Mark Milley. There's real-life ramifications of corruption. All right, on to the next one. Lives a TikTok tweet. A kid, this is the mother. This is the kid that the mother was just confronting the judge about. This was her kid. A kid who this corrupt judge got paid to stuff into prison, committed suicide, and Biden just let him go free. It was actually the other one, but they're both part of the same scheme. Sandy Fonzo, whose son died by suicide at age 23, after Sia Varela placed him in juvenile detention at age 17 for a minor drug paraphernalia charge. That is nothing more than basically a pretrial intervention. You write an affidavit or you do a notice to appear. You can't do a notice to appear for a minor. But anyway, you do basically a notice to appear. Probable cause affidavit. Goes to the state attorney. The kid goes in, does some sort of pretrial intervention, goes and cleans up a park, and that's the end of it. You don't send him to a prison for money. That's why that mother, her son, was sent to the prison. The kid never recovers from it and commits suicide. For a minor drug paraphernalia charge, described Biden's commuting of Conahan's sentence as deeply painful. Yeah, I can imagine. Thank God I can only imagine it. I put that last pick up for me. Just wanted to show you. There's the judge who was freed on the left. There's the outraged mother. And then, of course, there's President Puddin' Pop on the bottom right. All right, go to the next one for me, Brent. John Solomon tweet. Breaking Biden clemency spree began secretly. Yeah, can you believe this, Aaron? It actually began before we actually knew it began.
Wow.
Secretly, last month, when Chinese nationals in espionage, child porn with Chinese nationals in espionage, in child porn case, we're giving clemency to people who committed espionage? Weird. From Just News, leave that up for me. This is a John Solomon article. Joe Biden's clemency spree, now we're into China, began secretly in late November when he commuted the prison sentences of three Chinese nationals convicted in espionage, child pornography, and fraud case just a few days before issuing a controversial pardon for his son, Hunter. The commutations, and you have to excuse my pronunciations of Chinese names, it won't be pretty. The commutations for Yang Jun Yu, Yi Chao Gung, and Jin Shanlin were dated November 22nd, but escaped much public notice until Thursday, yesterday, when the 46th president issued the largest single-day batch of pardons and commutations in modern American history, more than 1,500 in all, that stirred up controversy on social media and puzzlement inside Congress. Officials told Just the News the clemency for those three Chinese nationals, why would we ever be giving clemency for Chinese nationals, were a part of a Thanksgiving Day holiday prisoner swap with Communist China for three Americans wrongfully detained there. I would like to know who those three Americans were and what they wrongfully detained for. We don't know that yet. The Chinese government reciprocated by releasing, oh, here they are, Mark Swiden, Kay Lai and John Lang in an exchange, and two of those have Chinese names, but anyway, in an exchange announced the day after Thanksgiving. We don't know the specifics about that. We don't know exactly what crimes they committed, so why they were released, why they were being held in China, we don't know the specifics. But anyway, Yang Jun Yu was originally sentenced to 20 years in prison for espionage crimes targeting American aviation companies. Oh. And he just got a sentence commuted, and now he's going back to China. Everybody's going to marry Fang Fang. Eric Swallows, sexual partner for I don't know how long in the United States, who was a Chinese spy. In aviation companies, for trade secrets and acting as a Chinese intelligence officer. And he's acting as a Chinese intelligence officer, and so he's committed espionage, a treasonous offense, and his sentence just got commuted. The Justice Department said in a press release, court documents show Zhu specifically targeted GE Aviation, a Cincinnati Ohio firm to acquire an exclusive aircraft component. Let's go to the next guy. Ji Chao Kwan was working in the United States, and he's now commuted and free, under the Chinese Ministry of State Security and was being directed by Zhu, the first guy, who was his handler, the court documents show. Ji eventually applied to join the United States Army. We're commuting the sentences of spies now. Through a program that accepts legal immigrants with vital language skills with plans to eventually become a citizen and obtain a security clearance. Oh, so this guy's going for security clearance. The DOJ said. When he applied, he lied, claiming he had no contacts with foreign government officials, prosecutors alleged. And he's just been commuted. Two guys committing espionage. Now let's move to everybody's favorite. Jin Xiaolin was studying as a doctoral student at the Southern Methodist University when he was caught with more than 47,000 images and videos of child pornography on his computer, according to Dallas Morning News. Jin reportedly had Chinese Communist Party connections. So another guy who was committing espionage but just happened to be in possession of child pornography, according to the outlet. He pled guilty to the charges of serving an 8-year prison sentence for the offenses. The commutations of the Chinese prisoners kicked off Biden's clemency spree, which continued December 1st when he erased his son Hunter's felony tax and gun convictions with a pardon. On Thursday, the administration announced commutations for 1,500, blah, blah, blah. There you go. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. He's releasing Chinese spies. All three of them are spies. I didn't even know that. Jin Xiaolin was also guilty of espionage, because he is, obviously. And we're releasing these people now under the Biden administration. Can you imagine just having absolutely such little regard for your nation that you're releasing people into the wind who committed espionage? Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. All right. I didn't make it. 16 minutes over. I said 10:15. Grumble Rants. Q1-013, $50. Flash Quiver. $25. Nude Monk, $20. Florida Bubs, $20. Gianna Jones, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Will Gilbert, love you, Will, $10. Q the Band, $10. Perry Heather, $120, $4. Thank you guys so much for giving to the Rumble Rant. Thank you guys so much for being in the chat. That's the end of the week, man. It's the end of the week. All right, make sure you're in church with us on Sunday. Let's break the record. I believe our record is 7-12. Let's break the record on Sunday. Trump is great. Patel's great. Elon is great. Vivek Ramaswamy, the Trump team, the Trump cabinet's great. Trump transition team's great. But you got to have Jesus, because none of them are going to get you to heaven. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Aaron, you'll hear Aaron leading worship around 10:15. I'll take the stage around 11 to 11:05. Join us. You think I'll say anything from here? Wait to hear me on Sunday. I'll say anything anywhere. There is no holds barred. If you think, you know what, Tom will say anything on that podcast, I do the exact same thing for the pulpit, except I don't say cuck from the pulpit. That's it. Cut that one out. But anyway, if you had 10:32, you won. 10:32. I'll be in the church. But last time, join us Foundation Church this Sunday. Be there. Come on. Be there. Got to have a church. Most churches stink. Even your local churches probably stink. Cave to COVID. Wearing masks. Pimping and whoring vaccines. Never closed, never will at Foundation Church. So join us this Sunday morning. All right, so 10:32 is the winner. Stick around for the postgame. Postgame is awesome. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Love you guys. If I don't see you Sunday morning, I'll see you Monday night, 9 o'clock. God bless you. Love you. See you at one of those two. See you then.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it. because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.